What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more.
What's up, FSM?
We are
back, kicking off a new series here, FSM podcast style. My name is Hunter House.
And my name is Caroline Turner.
And before we get started, I got to say this. Caroline, I hate that we don't get to work together more often because I hear incredible things about you.
Hey, ditto.
Are they all true?
Every single one of them.
And by ditto, did you mean you hear incredible things about yourself?
No, I don't hear anything good about you.
That's great.
Nothing but bad things.
We are on the same page. Hey,
we have a 3-week series coming up. This will be week one, and we're going to be doing love, sex, and dating. And so for those of y'all who don't know, this series goes way beyond the time that I've been on staff, and I think the time you've been on staff.
Mm-hmm.
This is something FSM has been doing for centuries, like since the mid-1500s.
The early Stone Age.
Yeah, somewhere in there. But I think probably for the last 15, 20 years, we've been doing an LSD series. And so it doesn't mean we're doing drugs, obviously.
Love.
Dang it.
love, sex, and dating is the series. And so we usually get to do this on Sunday mornings. That's not in the cards right now. And so we're going to do it via podcast. And so the way we're going to break it down this year is we're just going to take 1 week for each of those words. And so today we get love.
Love.
Yeah. So Caroline, what is love?
I really don't even know how to answer this question because in our culture, it means a multitude of different things. And it's essentially kind of can be a blanket statement.
Is it like, would you say love is when you look in your husband's eyes? Like, is that love every time?
Some of the time, but not all the time.
Ooh, Matt. Hope you're listening. But yeah.
Matt, I love you.
I love you too, Matt.
I don't think we've ever met, but I love you.
It's funny you say that, though. You know, love is hard to define, especially when you think about the things that we say that we love. Like, there's so many things. I mean, we say we love people, right?
Yeah. I know I say I love coffee.
You do? What kind?
I love Onyx coffee, just a black Onyx coffee.
Mmm, I like
simple,
that.
Solid. Simple gal.
People say they love pickles.
I do love pickles.
Really?
Yes.
Me too.
I love pickles.
My wife hates pickles.
Oh, that's sad.
I love Canes too. People say, I love Canes.
Slims. I love Slims more than Canes.
Yeah, it's okay. We can fight later.
Okay, that sounds good. Some people say they love running. I personally hate running.
Really?
Yes,
yeah,
hate
me too.
It. Okay, good.
Me too. But love is such a broad topic. And really, love is everywhere in our culture. I mean, over time, you know, we begin to form our own view of what love is based on those things that we see around us. And so let's run through a couple of things that we see in our culture and talk about, you know, what those actually teach us about love. So this is the big one, The Bachelor.
The Bachelor.
I know you probably got some thoughts.
It's what's on everyone's minds probably when you talk about what our culture is teaching us about love. It's probably one of like the most popular shows about love. Most people watch it. I hate to admit that I am an avid watcher of The Bachelor and I love it.
You should be ashamed.
I am ashamed, but I'll admit it. But if we truly think about what this show even is, it literally makes no sense as to why we truly think that people will find love on this show, but it somehow works for some people. A man,
very few.
Their success rate is below 30%.
Mm.
But one man or woman is given 30 contestants to potentially find love with, and then they just start weeding out the ones that they don't see it with. And then at the end of it, they hopefully propose to someone and find love. And I looked this up after, on average, spending a total of 48 hours with that person.
That's romantic.
And most of it is on camera. It's wild.
It's just so real life, though. You can tell everything's authentic.
Yeah, not a set up or controlled environment
at all. Not at all.
And most of us don't really watch it for the love aspect. I mean, if we're being honest, it's a wildly entertaining show. and the drama is absolutely hilarious. That's the reason that I watch it. Mm. But it's really easy for us to idealize these bachelor relationships and saying things like, well, if I could just find what they have, then it would be perfect. And that just ain't true.
It's not true at all.
It's not true.
All right, here's one for me that kind of taught me about love. High School Musical.
Okay. We're all in this together.
We're all in this. Yeah. So, I mean, that was popular when I was a kid. I think there's like a new High School Musical.
High School Musical, the musical, the series.
Sounds good. I don't know. But it taught me, you know, to try to find a half Filipino woman because apparently those are the best girls.
Did it work?
It did.
Okay.
Found one.
Success.
Hashtag find Filipino fox.
Heck yeah.
Alex is going to kill me. It's all good. So I'm not on TikTok, but what about TikTok? What does that teach us about love?
I'm a big TikTok fan. I think it's got some great content, but there are some incredibly weird trends on TikTok right now. I mean, there's obviously one called the hot boyfriend check.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to say that one, but you beat me to it.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Where you just post pictures of your boyfriend looking hot. And I'm going to do this with Matt, but I'm going to do all just very awful pictures of him. So that's on my list of to-dos for this week.
Please send those to me.
So another one, and warning, this one is really, really, really weird. But there's one right now where girlfriends are walking out naked in front of their boyfriends while they're playing video games to get their reaction. So essentially just teaching that the only way to pull your boyfriend away from the love of their video game is a love of sex.
What the heck? That's a real thing?
I like feel uncomfortable even talking about it because I just can't imagine.
Well, then let's go to
And then the last one is obviously my boyfriend looks like a celebrity.
Obviously.
Or girlfriend.
What celebrity does Matt look like?
I have no clue.
You know what mine is?
What?
Mr. Tumnus. The Fawn from Chronicles of Narnia. Really good
not
looking.
The actor,
no,
the
not
actor
the actor.
As like, Mr. Tumnus.
Actually, when he looks like a goat, that's when I look like him. So another thing that, you know, we can kind of get a picture of love on is pets, right?
Yeah.
And what pets mean to us. You know Tori from our team.
Yeah.
Tori has found the love of her life within the last 6 months.
And oh, my gosh.
I know. It's crazy. And her name is Mia. And
oh
she talks
God.
To him like this. I think her name's like Mia Fotinopoulos III of Mexico City. It's some really long name from Father of the Bride or something like that.
Well, I would like to say that Mia has also found the love of her life.
Ooh.
It's my dog.
Oh.
Peter Parker Turner.
I like that.
They're the same breed. And they're going to fall in love. We're already setting it up. Well, we have to get them both fixed first, though, so they haven't met yet.
What does fixed mean? All right, so...
We have to get them neutered.
Oh, okay, there we go. I understand that. So most of us, you know, form our view on what love is and how we should love based on some of these things, these influences around us. And many times it's subtle, but I think over time, we can actually begin to form our own philosophy on love.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like we've talked about this, but what is the problem with that?
Yeah, so as we form our own philosophy, I think the biggest problem is that there's no absolute direction or truth. It's kind of every man or woman for himself or herself mm-hmm. based on what they believe. Like that's how they form their definition of what love should be. And so how in the world do we have any sort of compass for knowing if we're heading in the right direction?
Well, I feel like with that, we could look at a few key observations of what our culture and God's word say about love. And I'm pretty sure they're pretty contradictory. But here's the hope, is to see God's word as the source of truth for how we form our view of this world and not the other way around. So we're not using our world and our culture or what other people's Instagram stories or posts are informing us of how we interpret God's word, but rather we take God's word for what it is and what he's telling us. And in that way, we look at the world and we use God's word as a compass for our lives.
Love it. I think it's a great place to start. So here's my fear, okay? Here's what I'm afraid of. Caroline, can you read 2 Timothy 4:3 for us? It's really short.
Yes. It says, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." Yikes.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like That is where we are in 2020. Okay, yeah. This is us. Many people don't want sound biblical teaching, don't, you know, really want to hear perspectives from other people that don't align, because they only want to hear the things that align with what they feel and believe, especially in regards to love, sex, and dating in high school.
Amen. And I think we've both been there. I mean, we've both been in high school. You know,
some people still think I am in high school.
Well, yeah. The shoe fits.
Yeah.
But for you listeners, you've chosen to listen to this podcast. And so here's what we're asking, is that whatever preconceived notion or ideas that you have coming in about love, sex, and dating, just set them aside for the next 30 to 50 minutes and clear the slate. Listen to what God's word says, and let's see how that forms and shapes us and our views.
Love it. All right, so for the next few minutes, we're going to look through three very important questions, and we'll remind you of those as we go if you're taking notes. So three very important questions about love. And for each question, we want to see how Scripture answers the question and how culture answers the question. So here's the first question. How important is love? So Caroline, what does Scripture say about that?
Well, Scripture says that love is primary. 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. It tells us everything that love is. One thing it says is that love is essential. And so if we don't have love, what the heck are we doing? It's one of the major characteristics of God. Mm-hmm. All over the Bible, we see that God is love and that he loves us. And it's the reason that he sent his son Jesus to this earth. John 3:16 would be an example of that. It's the command that God gives to wives to love their husbands. In Romans 5:8 and in Galatians 2:20, we see that it's why Christ died for us, because he loves us. Yeah. We could go on and on, but love is a central theme of the Bible. The only way that God could pull off his story is because he is overflowing with love.
Yeah, so true. And not only is God's love central, but he actually designed our love for other humans as an essential part of our being. You know, anytime we do a love, sex, and dating series, I always love to bring up Genesis 1:26-28 and just talk about this creation of man and woman, and like, what was the first command that God gave to all humans? And, you know, we'll give the examples of like, well, was it don't eat from that tree, or love the Lord your God with all your heart? And actually, if you read those verses, the first command he gave to mankind was to be fruitful and multiply. In other words, to have sex, right? It's an essential part of how he's designed us to be, to connect with someone of the opposite sex and to produce, you know, image-bearing men and women who reflect his image to the world, you know? And our design is all about love and intimacy, not only in our desire to have that with him, but to have community and love with other people.
Yeah. So Scripture says it's important is what we're getting from all of this. But what does culture say about love?
Well, the cool thing about this question is Scripture and the world actually answer it the same way, that love is primary. The culture says the same thing, that it's the epitome of what we should strive for. So, you know, almost every major cultural movement today is built around something that has to do with love. In a world of tolerance and relativism, the key driver behind these mindsets is love. Because if someone loves something or someone, how dare you say that that is wrong? And love is absolutely everywhere in culture. You know, we looked up the top five songs, and you can get a lot of different lists of what the top five songs are. But from this list, and I wonder, you've got some of the lyrics here, Caroline, will love be in all of these songs? All right, so let's start with number five. And look, I don't know these songs, but I'm going to give my best shot to sing them as we go, okay?
Yeah, I have the lyrics in front of me, but I also don't really know these songs. But we're going to start with a song by the classic artist Lady Gaga. The song is
Gaga.
Called Stupid Love.
Gaga. yeah, I think it goes something like this. Your love is stupid. It's stupid, stupid. I think... Is that it?
I mean, yeah, that's, in my eyes, that's spot on. Okay. I have no clue what that song sounds like, so it sounds good to me.
Does it at least have love in it?
It does, yeah. I want your stupid love, comma love. And I don't know how you would sing that, but...
Perfect.
Stupid love, love.
We're one for one.
You're one for one, yeah. The next one is by Justin Bieber. I don't know who that is, but I think he is an up-and-coming indie artist.
Yeah, he is. From India.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a Bollywood singer. Yeah. But Justin Bieber has a song called Intentions.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It goes like this. These are my intentions, just when I thought I said all I could say. It's a good song. It's a hit.
Yeah, I don't think that that one was correct.
Oh, okay.
But he talks about picture perfect, you don't need no filter. That's I don't great. Know if I should read this.
That's great. That's great.
Gorgeous, make them drop dead. You a killer.
Ooh, read
Shower
it.
Shower you with all my attention. Yeah, these are my only intentions.
All right, so love in two for two.
As long as you're physically beautiful, you could be Justin Bieber's wife.
This is true. I don't
Those are
cut.
His only intentions, yeah, is to
I
tell you.
I don't think I made the cut.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Sorry.
Okay, one of my favorite bands when I was 13 years old, and I very much thought I would marry one of the people in this band. It didn't work out for me, but that's okay. What a Man Gotta Do by the Jonas Brothers.
I actually know this one.
Okay,
What a Man it. Gotta Do. What a man gonna do. All right, that's all you get. Sorry.
That was perfect.
Thank you. Sounds and, really weird singing it, but.
It was great. I mean, you could be a Jonas brother.
Yeah, I got major pit stains right now from singing these songs.
Woo. You nervous?
Yeah.
Okay, what about a Selena Gomez song called Rare?
Oh, Rare. I know this one. It goes something like this. I like you like I like my steak. Rare. Rare.
Man, Selena needs to be worried about heart disease, yeah. Eating all those rare things.
But for real, does this one have love in it?
It does not have the word love.
Okay.
But it has the word baby. So basically.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's the same thing. We're going to count that as four for four. What's this fifth one?
It's by Dua Lipa, the queen.
Dua Lipa.
It's a song called Physical, and I'm really scared to know where you're headed.
You know what?
Song.
I'm not even going to sing this one, but I will tell you, did you know Dua Lipa is Portuguese for two lips?
How did you know that?
Yeah, fact check it.
Is that her real, like, birth name?
Oh, of course. Yeah. does this one have love in it?
Yes, it does. It says, common love isn't for us. We created something phenomenal. Don't you agree? I don't know what that means.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Here's what we're seeing, okay? That was a long tangent to get to this point that to be a successful song, it's probably going to have something to do in today's culture with love. A recent study showed that 92%, think about that, 92% of Billboard top songs have references to sex or intimacy or love in them. That's crazy high.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to have a successful song, put something about love or sex in it.
Yeah. And it's not even just songs or movies or TV. It's even advertisement. Love sells, or I would even argue sex sells.
Yeah.
Think about Hardee's or Carl's Jr. ads. Those
Wait.
Are just...
Have you... Let me ask you a real question. Have you ever
Yes.
eaten
there?
Really?
No. Have I ever eaten there?
Yes.
Well, I think my dad bought me breakfast there one time.
Solid. I'm like, no one eats there, but yeah, how do we get people to eat at Carl's Jr.? Well, let's throw a woman in a bikini and actor?
Actor, model.
Yeah. And just have her act like, you know, this burger is really scrumptious.
Yeah, while she washes a car.
Yeah. Even commercials like Axe body spray, right?
Yeah, it might be. Axe might be one of the worst parts of working in youth ministry. But seriously, Axe sells itself. Axe bombs?
Yeah, have you ever been Axe bombed before?
I've never been Axe bombed, but I've witnessed a group of girls being axe bombed.
Oh, man. I'm sure they were distraught.
Yeah. They were not happy.
Oh,
right. I didn't walk back in that cabin for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah. And you know those boys were like, oh, we got them. And those girls are like, I hate you so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, it went about like that.
But here's the deal. I love that our culture is obsessed with love. Okay. I think it's actually, and hear me, I think it's actually our greatest advantage as believers to show the love of God, because everyone craves it. Now, the problem is God's word and our culture talk about two different types of love.
So let's go to our second question, which is, what is true love? Scripture says that love is selfless. Hunter, do you want to explain?
Yeah, so one of the passages I want to point us to in this one, in talking about what is true love and how Scripture answers it, would be John chapter 15. And it's where Jesus is talking to his disciples and going over just basic walking with God principles. And here's what he says about love. This is verses 12 and 13. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends." And so he's telling us that the greatest example of love is one of sacrifice, you know, and our natural thing to do is to love ourselves, right? It's understood. Think about the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God, right? But the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as who?
Yourself.
As yourself. Yeah. Because it's natural to love ourselves.
And it's really hard. Loving others well is really, really tough because our innate response is to be selfish and to look out for ourselves. But God is calling us to think outside of ourselves and to live selflessly, especially in relationships or marriage. Loving unconditionally is not based on what the other person can give you.
Yeah, so like think of you and Matt. Any stressors in y'all's marriage where it's been like hard to love selflessly?
Yeah, I have a lot of great content because we've essentially been working together at home 24/7 because of the quarantine.
That's true.
And so I like to call this little blip in our marriage the oat milk incident. So for those of y'all that don't know what oat milk is, it is milk made out of oats.
Yeah, how do you milk an oat?
You
walk me through that process.
Blend it up with water, really. And so
it's not what I was picturing.
Yeah, but I've gotten pretty bored during this self-isolation thing. And so I saw this video on social media of someone making oat milk, and I thought, that can't be too hard.
No.
And I'm very bored. So I decided to try and make it because I didn't want to go pay $4 for a thing of oat milk. Mm.
And you know, that's how all great endeavors start, with those two things. That can't be that hard, and I'm really bored.
Yeah. So, you know, it was bound to be a wild success.
Yes.
It was really actually difficult, and I had to redo it twice. So it wasn't easy, and it took way longer than expected. So finally, I make the oat milk, and I'm bragging to Matt about this oat milk that I made because I feel like one of those Instagram influencers that somehow has the time to make everything from scratch.
That's me.
Yeah, for sure, I bet.
Follow me.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I told Matt, I was so excited about it. I put it in like this. I mean, when you're married, you have a ton of random things that you got off your registry. So I had this covered white bowl with a lid because I am not actually an Instagram influencer and don't just have mason jars laying around. And so I put it in there. I go back to work. I'm doing a Zoom meeting and I just hear, "Oh, no."
Oh, yes.
From Matt in the kitchen.
This. I love where this is going.
And I'm like, "What now?" Because, you know, married couples say and do that. And so Matt comes in the room and says, "I'm so sorry, but Caroline, I dumped your oat milk that I hadn't even gotten to try yet down the sink because I thought it was a bowl of water." He thought that I had just filled up a bowl with water and stuck it in the fridge.
Well, that's what most people do. I have a couple bowls of water in the fridge.
Yeah, you got to get it cold.
Yeah.
So, that doesn't even make sense at all, why I would put a bowl of water in the fridge. But he felt very, very bad, and because I was annoyed and didn't react very kindly. But it's a very stupid. It was oat milk. I made more in like 10 minutes. But
milk and more oats.
Nothing like more oat milk. And then I threw that oat milk out because it was bad and went and bought oat milk from the store.
Third time's
so,
a charm.
Yeah. But situations like this, whether it's like a small thing or a more serious thing where actual hurt is caused, whether it's on my end or his end, we have to choose to love the other person despite those things. And even though I was incredibly annoyed in that moment as to why my husband thought I put a bowl of water in the fridge and dumped out my oat milk, I'm not going to harbor that against him or hold it over his head, because we're in a covenant relationship, a covenant marriage relationship for the rest of our lives. And we get to choose to walk through and work through everything together, whether it's a small thing like homemade oat milk or a bigger thing. So culture tells us that love is about you and love is selfish, which is completely contradictory to everything that we've just heard from God's word and even my story. Of something that happened in our marriage. And so our world tells us that love is selfish. So where do we see selfish love in movies and television, Hunter?
Yeah, let me give you, I'll just give you two sayings, two questions or sayings that I think kind of epitomize where we see selfish love. And we've talked about this one a little bit with The Bachelor, but the saying, "Will you accept this rose?"
Yeah.
Kills me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What does this tell us?
So here's what I think it's saying. When a guy or a girl, depending on what season it's in, says this, what they're really saying is, will you give me a little more of yourself and a little more of your heart while I determine what I want, while I figure out if you're going to satisfy my desires in the way that I see fit? So keep flaunting yourself, keep selling yourself, and sit there and watch while I go through the buffet and pick the entree that is most appealing to me on any given day, right? So will you accept this rose? That's what I'm saying. And it's like, that makes you feel special? You realize that.
When 25 other girls are also getting
that. He said the exact same thing, right? Yeah. Nowhere else in life can men get away with this. Can they just line up 20 people and be like, hey, will you go on a date with me tonight?
Yeah.
And then will you go on a date with me tomorrow night? And then can I buy you coffee? And then all of them say.
And then eight of you, let's go on a group date together.
Yeah.
And then the ones who don't, I'm going to go meet your family, and then I'm going to dump you.
Man, that is a love story if I've ever heard one.
What about another example?
Yeah. So, there's a great movie that I watched a long time ago as a kid. Probably anyone listening is not going to recognize this, and it's okay, but it's called Jerry Maguire. You ever heard of it?
Yes. I know that I've watched it, and I fell asleep during it.
Perfect. Perfect.
So I can't help you with
one. It's got Tom Cruise in it in his prime, right?
But, the man.
Yeah. So there's one thing that he says, and this isn't the main one, but there's one line he uses is that you had me at hello, which is like... Why would you ever say that to
her? Is that how you met your wife? You went, hello.
Yeah.
And she went, I love you.
Yes, literally. That is our love story. But it's like, how in the world is that a good standard for choosing a mate? Right?
It's not.
What if she's a serial killer?
True.
Like, you don't get that from hello. There are plenty of things you can't understand from hello. But that's actually not the most, that's actually not the craziest line from the movie to me. So the one that he says, he looks at this girl, and in this heartfelt moment, he goes, you complete me. And it's like, that's actually really sweet, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. I've probably said that to multiple girls dating.
Okay, Blair.
Hey, here's what a guy or a girl is saying when they say, you complete me. They're saying, there's something not full when I'm by myself. And I need you to fill an emptiness that I have, right? Without you, I'm not full. Ladies, if you really want that, someone who loves you for what you bring to him, what happens when you don't meet that need anymore for him? Or when he decides that he wants to find that completion somewhere else, right? This type of love doesn't last. And can I be really honest real quick? A little side note.
Yeah.
Thank you for giving me permission.
Hey, you're welcome.
Appreciate that. This is actually the attitude behind pornography. Okay.
Yeah.
First Peter 2 tells us that, you know, sexual desires wage war against our souls. And what we get in pornography is this desire for me to fill a need that I have, to take advantage of someone else, to take what I need at the cost of other people, just to try to fill some emptiness that I have. And it's this very, very selfish idea of love.
Yeah. And so just to sum up both of those examples that you just gave, I think we could say that the number one issue with love in our culture is that it says love is about you.
Mm-hmm.
Do what makes you happy. Do what makes you feel good. Find someone who completes you. Cut out the people that don't complete you or give you what you need or want. And so this only leads to emptiness because nothing in this world satisfies. My friends, nope. My future kids, definitely nope.
What about Peter Parker Turner?
Very, very, very close. But I would think at the end of the day, probably no.
Closer than Matt?
No.
Wait, why are you thinking about this for so long?
Because I love my dog.
Okay.
Matt's close, but as harsh as it may sound, no, he's not my everything. My job either. It's not my everything. And that might sound harsh. Matt is an incredible guy who I would probably die for. Probably shouldn't say probably.
No, let's just leave you.
I definitely would die for him.
Just in case. No, probably is okay. He heard you loud and clear.
That probably sounds harsh, and it is. Matt, for example, my husband, is an incredible man who I would die for. But if I'm looking for my ultimate satisfaction in him, I'm never going to find it.
Right.
He'll continue to do things that annoy me, like pouring my oat milk down the sink, and I'll continue to do things that annoy him. But if I put all of my hope in Matt Turner to complete me and make me whole, I'll be deeply disappointed and empty for the rest of my life, and vice versa. And I can never, ever, ever complete him or make him whole the way that only Jesus can. Ooh. And so, ladies, hear me. We have to realize this. If we think that our whole lives will be complete by the presence of one guy, that's not going to happen.
No, we are not that great.
You're not.
I speak on behalf of all men in the whole world. We suck.
Yeah, I would agree. No, I'm kidding.
but not really.
The fulfillment that I desire at my core, and I think all of us, when we're craving love, that need can only be met in the love that comes from God. I've learned that real love is selfless from God's word, and it's about loving and serving others in a way that God has loved and served me.
Preach it, girl. All right.
Preach it, girl.
You're killing it. Man, I love that. Hey, thanks, Caroline. We're going to cut it off right here, and we're going to break this one up into two parts. And so next week we will cover love part two and really look at this big question of how does love relate to God? So what's the relationship between God and love? So FSM, until next time, this is Hunter.
And Caroline.
Peace. That's perfect. You're so cool.